Spring is in full swing, and summer is just around the corner. A great time for a beach getaway at the Oceanfront Boardwalk Plaza Hotel in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Enjoy the best of oceanfront accommodations and amazing dining right on the beach, both with great views of the ocean and boardwalk. Enjoy a soak in the heated indoor spa pool, or book the adults-only concierge level and relax in the rooftop hot tubs. Book online at BoardwalkPlaza.com or call 800-333-333 Beach. Thanks to the Boardwalk Plaza for being the Bridge Podcast Network sponsor.
Welcome to another episode of Together, part of the Bridge Podcast Network. Together, hosted by author, pastor, and communicator Jack Eason, will equip us in overcoming loneliness. We'll learn to identify what gets in the way of real community, how to develop and deepen true friendships, and discover a place of true belonging. Now, here is the host of Together, Jack Eason.
It's Jack Eason, and we continue our discussion about loneliness and friendships and community. And today's special guest, all the way from Indiana, is an experienced author and a guy who has a lot of experience talking about those things that can help us overcome loneliness. He has a book out through Crossway about making friends, and in this day and age, we really need to know how to make friends. How did you, Drew? Thanks for joining us. How did you get in this whole topic of friendship? What was it for you that was the catalyst that made this an important issue to talk about?
Yeah, there's a few things that came together at a certain period of time around 2011 or so. One was studying the book of Proverbs. So looking at a bunch of themes in Proverbs in that year, and then noticing how there were a lot of themes that I expected to see that were there. You know, there's money is very prominent. Work is prominent. Various relationships are prominent in the book of Proverbs. But then I was surprised to see how it has a very specific focus on friendship at many points along the way. And the language that's used is not just, you know, general wisdom for relationships, but it has very profound things to say about the unique and distinct relationship of friendship. And so as I considered those, I realized that there's some really profound and pointed statements made about friendship, and it was challenging to me and some of my even understanding about friendship. And then as I was thinking about that, I went to John 15, where Jesus is gathering with his disciples the night before he's crucified, and he's really opening up his heart to them to explain to them what's about to happen. Because they've never really picked up the clues and the statements that he's really made about the cross. And so he's trying to be even more specific at this point. And what was so surprising to me is that he defined the highest act of love in terms of friendship, because he said that there's no greater love than this, than that a man lay down his life, or that someone lay down his life for his friends. And then he defined the cross in terms of that act of friendship love. He said, I've loved you. You are my friends. And so he calls them to see the cross in that next day as an act of cosmic friendship love, and the highest act of love in terms of friendships. So that was really striking to me. And I realized I had not really thought about the cross in terms of friendship. And I really had not thought much about Jesus being a friend, and how he wants us to view him as a friend and wants us to view ourselves as his friends. So that was really what happened in my life, and thinking through it, and then just noticing that as I had this higher view of friendship, because of thinking about it, I was valuing my friends more. I was more prone to them and want to get together with them and value them and appreciate them. And then since it was on my mind, I became just more aware of the cultural gap of friendship in America and really globally, how we're facing somewhat of a, many people call, a loneliness epidemic. And so the culture has this massive gap of friendships, and churches are often no better. We can talk about community, but we can often create systems for community that don't really value life-on-life friendship, but instead just larger group gatherings that can only go so deep. So there was a season of life where those things came together, and I realized, wow, this is really something that I need to grow in, and I want to have conversations with people about as well.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. What do you think it is, a generational thing? I mean, you know, I know we, in my study through this, we've looked a lot at millennials and Gen Z who seemingly have this issue with loneliness and making friends. But I know folks in their 30s, 40s, 50s who also struggle with making friends. Is it generational? Is it technology? Is it culture? I mean, I know all those things kind of play into it. In your experience, what are you seeing? What are some of the triggers or things that you would say are a part of this whole deal with loneliness?
Yeah, I think there's certainly each generation seems to have certain strengths and weaknesses when it comes to this. So there's certain ways in which younger generations are doing friendship better than previous generations or the most recent ones, as far as valuing friendships and relationships very highly. But you know, valuing it highly doesn't necessarily always translate into a thick practice and experience of it. So I think some of the gaps are really, one of them is the way that we structure community life, even as a society. So in previous generations, there was a real overlap in spheres of activity. So for instance, if you, the people you work with, at least several of them may have been the people that are in your town, and maybe there are overlap with people from your church community or your neighborhood even. And people that you went to church with or were part of a church with, you know, they're going to overlap from people that were in your neighborhood or the workplace or where you shop and eat through the week. And then now those spheres are increasingly separated. So people can have people that they work with, and they would never see them outside of the context of work because they're commuting far to see them. And some people are driving for a church community, and therefore the people that they are at church events with, they'd never see in their neighborhood or out and about around town or in their workplace. And you know, sports activities with kids, if there's parents with kids, aren't going to overlap there as well. So people just have these isolated spheres. And so even younger people who are even in high school will have the people that maybe they're at their church aren't the same people that they're at school with, or aren't the same people that they're doing sports with. So that can really make friendship hard without a massive amount of intentionality, because friendship takes time and shared experience. And if we don't have these overlapping circles anymore, we're going to be very disconnected from one another. So that's one thing. And then I think technology, you know, that really does affect us in a lot of ways that we, some of which we can be aware of, but some of which we may not be aware of. But I think one way in which it's affecting us in a way that hinders friendship is not just the fact that we're on technology more, but that we're using technology to have certain kinds of conversations that are most that should be done face to face, very, you know, personal conversations. You know, we're using these depersonalized ways of expressing things. So if there's a confrontation needed or a confession needed, we might, rather than being face to face, we'll do that over technology, or we just won't have those conversations at all. And so we're really not growing in the courage that it takes to have certain kinds of hard conversations in friendship, of being transparent about our own weaknesses and sins, or confronting in gentleness someone else, or affirming them in different ways, because we aren't pursuing those kinds of contexts. And so a lot of people, you know, are using text or otherwise to have really significant moments in their life happen, and they're not able to actually enjoy these as embodied people, and we're not even then growing in the skill of being good conversationalists, which is important for friendship as well. So I think that's part of it.
You love the people in your life, but sometimes you just don't understand each other. Wouldn't it be great if there was a tool to help you do that?
The Enneagram is a great tool to inspire better connections with others, ourselves, and God. It's about learning what motivates us, or how we and others see the world. Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Kim. Join us on the journey to better relationships utilizing the Enneagram.
Check out our podcast, If You Really Knew Me, and subscribe today.
You know, and I think I was reading something on an article, or maybe it was a portion of your book, where you were talking about the responsibility, really, that we have in friendship, which you don't hear a lot of times the word responsibility and friendship often put together. But when you think about this deal with responsibility, which is especially Some would say millennials, Gen Z, whatever. I think we all struggle with that issue of responsibility in some way or form. But what is that part of the of the equation in friendships? And how have you discovered that there is a responsibility if you really want to grow in friendship?
Yeah. One thing that was really striking to me when I was looking at Proverbs is that one of the Proverbs made just a direct, crystal clear statement, do not forsake your friend. And that was striking to me because I had heard a lot of friendship wisdom, for lack of a better word, that had said, or kind of common understanding that said, you know, one of the greatest aspects of friendship is that there's no kind of firm commitment like family or marriage, where you make a vow in marriage or you're born into a family, you don't have choice. And so one of the great benefits of friendship is that you're always just choosing to be part of that friendship. And because you could let go at any point, that shows the people that they should be honored that you're with them, and so forth. So the idea of freedom to come and go heightens the value of it when you're with someone. But Proverbs seems to indicate that that's actually a really off way of thinking about it, that actually over time, a bond is forged between people. And it then creates expectations and responsibility. And we do also sense this intuitively, and it comes out in statements like, I can't believe that person did that. I thought they were my friend, right? Or I could never do that to a friend. So we do have ways of showing that we do get this kind of covenant like commitment and friendship, but in a lot of other ways in which we think and act, we aren't consistent with that. So it really is significant then to recognize if we have a responsibility to another human being whom we've developed this bond of friendship with, then that's going to have certain expectations for what we do and how we live and how we talk to them or interact with them. It means that we should be in touch enough to know when something is really hard in their life. Because even the context of the statement in Proverbs says, don't forsake a friend, is the context is a calamity coming into their life or their family's life. And so we need to be able to be kind of a fully embodied human presence for that person if we can. You know, doing whatever it takes to make sacrifices to be there with them or be in conversation with them. And so if we aren't sharing life together and opening up and being transparent on a regular basis with at least a handful of close friends, that we're not going to be able to even fulfill those responsibilities because we're not going to be in touch enough to even know when suffering may fall into their life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. And it takes a getting close, having this closeness. And I know maybe people who are listening to this who maybe for all of us to some degree, this is a struggle. How do we develop true friendships? I mean, we have thousands of friends through social media, but are those really friends? What would you say are some tips for people who are listening? What are some next steps? Okay, if I'm going, this sounds all great, and I'd love to see this happen in my own life and in the area of relationships.
Right.
But what are some tips that you would give us to get started in that process?
Yeah. So a couple of things come to mind. And I feel like, you know, I'm always having to reassess my own life and think about what's the next step. So I feel like we all should be thinking in these ways of having a current sense of where am I at right now in with friendships and what's the next step I can take. So we should all be kind of thinking about this. And a few of the key steps that we can take, one of them would be, you know, to just think through, maybe even write down, who are the few people that are closest to you, that are your friends or have been your friends or you'd hope to be your friends, that are close enough there. And then for each one, think very concretely, what's one next step that I could take to strengthen that friendship? And the next step could be one of a few things. For instance, getting together face to face, or to do some activity kind of side by side, is a great next step. So getting together for a meal, I think you can make a case even from the Bible and of course culturally through the world that getting together face to face around food is actually one of the primary ways in which we grow as friends and as community. So having a meal together, inviting someone over or going out with someone for a meal is a great next step. And then when you're with someone, a great next step is to think, what is one question I could ask to take this conversation one step deeper? Because very often our friendships stay superficial for lack of intentionality of just moving conversation a step deeper. And one of the best ways you can do that is just by asking an intentional question about someone's life, you know, what they're thinking about, what's on their mind lately, how's life going, something that gets them to think big picture life, and then just keep asking questions about it and stay curious. So I think those are key things to do in order to take a step forward. Just think about individual people and what's one step you could take to get face to face with them and move conversation.
Yeah. Just being intentional, I think. And that's such a good word. Most of us really don't think from that perspective. If someone wanted to get more information about how to really engage in growing friendships and making friends, I know you've got, of course, the book out through Crossway, but how could somebody get a hold of you if they wanted to reach out more questions or follow up with you?
Sure. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter, at Drew F. Hunter. That'd probably be the primary way to do that. And of course you can grab the book Made for Friendship and unpack a lot of these things, in that book as well. So.
Awesome. Good deal. Hey, any last words, just about this whole thing, especially about friendship, that you would share with us before we let you go today?
Yeah. So I think that the key there is to recognize that, friendship is about, you know, C.S. Lewis said, you find a friend when you're having a conversation and one of you says, "What, you too?" Which is a way of saying we have something unique in common. And the greatest resource for friendship is really Jesus Christ, because it means that you can have all sorts of differences with another person, politically, ethnically, socioeconomically, age. And if you have Jesus in common, then you actually both share the truest friend, and you're becoming like him by his grace and his spirit power. And so you already have the main thing in common. And so that's a commonality that you can unite around and have the deepest of friendships around. And then there's another resource for friendships that Jesus provides, and that is that Jesus himself, you know, he says, "You are my friends." So he makes us his friends. And what that means is, if we recognize that Jesus is our truest friend and we actually walk in friendship with him in a moment by moment, hour by hour kind of basis, experience him as a friend in reality, that actually fills up our need for friendship to such a degree that then we can enter into conversations, enter into rooms, enter in gatherings, and we can be moving in toward people without this sense of neediness, without the main thing being on our mind, "I need a friend, I don't want to feel lonely, I hope someone pays attention to me, who do I know here that so I don't feel excluded." Instead of those thoughts, we can walk into a room and think, "I already have my truest friend with me. And therefore, who can I befriend in this room? Who might be lonely in this room? Who might need my friendship right now?" And so we're filled up to give rather than get. And that actually makes you into the truest kind of friend anyways. Less needy for friendship and more able to give to others. And that's how you become the better friend anyways. And that's very much like Jesus. And so we become like him in that sense as well.
Wow. Such good stuff. Drew, thanks for, again, your time today. I know you're busy. And again, if you want more information about Drew, you can hit him up on Twitter, Drew F. Hunter, and check out his book through Crossway. If you want more information about how to find out developing friendships in community, be looking for the book, The Solution for Loneliness, which is coming out from Revell, from myself, in October of 2020. Check out the website, jackeason.org. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Together on the Bridge Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss a beat. Share your thoughts and questions about this episode by emailing podcast@wearethebridge.org. You can find other great podcasts by heading over to the Listen tab at wearethebridge.org/podcast.